You are listening to a sermon by Rosie Pereira, recorded on Sunday, November 23, 2008, at the Point Grey Interminonite Fellowship in Vancouver, British Columbia. The opinions expressed by the speaker are not necessarily those of the church. This recording is licensed for personal use by individuals only and may not be copied, broadcast, or redistributed without the prior permission of the church board. For more information, please visit our website at www.pgimf.org.
Well, this sermon has been cooking ever since Damien challenged us with a sermon last year on death, which is not a topic that young people think about that often. And so I feel like I'm following in your footsteps and carrying it forward a little bit earlier in my life from that phase. Aging and spirituality are closely related. As we get older, we tend to mature in faith. The things of this world grow strangely dim as we approach the curtain separating us from the life to come. Our lives become simpler by necessity, and that can yield clarity in focusing on the deeper things of the spirit that matter most. At the same time, we face more and more challenges as our bodies and minds age, and we need a strong faith to get us through the unknown waters of the late stages of life. In this sermon, I would like to touch on several aspects of spirituality and aging. What is the meaning or purpose of aging? How can we learn from the older generation? What role do seniors have in the community of faith, even when their faculties begin to wane? How do we honor our elders and help them carry out the spiritual tasks of the phase of life they are in? And how do we age gracefully ourselves as we approach that phase of life? I speak with great tenuousness on these matters because I am well aware of the collective maturity of this congregation. Most of you who have earned your white hairs know a lot more about aging than I do. But I think it's a subject that we young'uns should not shy away from. What a privilege we have to relate to those who are further ahead of us on the journey and to learn from you. I hope that the discussion time afterwards is as much a part of our learning together as what I contribute. This talk comes out of a year of pondering and exploring, reading and praying, talking and listening, occasioned by a couple of experiences in my own life that have brought me face to face with aging and its relation to spirituality in the church. The most recent experience, as many of you know, was accompanying my dog on the final stage of her earthly life this year and watching how she faced her aging and death with courage and trust. I did a lot of thinking during that period of time about letting go and appreciating the simple things of life. I went through a few weeks while caring for her at the very end, sensing God's presence closer than I had in a very long time. But even before that, the first thing that got me really started on this exploration was the sudden expulsion of my parents from their congregation of nearly 40 years, a year ago August, due to my mother's increasing symptoms of Alzheimer's disease. She was becoming disruptive during the service, and it was too much of a burden on volunteers within the church to take care of her in a quiet room downstairs. There was no precedent for such a problem. So a hasty decision was made by the church leadership, without consulting my dad, that she should not be coming to church anymore. This news was communicated to him in a very awkward manner over the phone. My father's response was, "Very well then, I won't be coming anymore either. My primary responsibility is to my wife, and if I can't bring her with me, I'm not going to come." Ouch. This was the church I grew up in, and I still retained a fondness for the people there and had enjoyed hearing updates about them from my parents. Or from my dad. Suddenly, this extended family who were keeping an eye out on my parents for my brother and sister and me were gone in the blink of an eye in a poorly handled decision that could not be undone. That event precipitated a quest to read anything I could get my hands on about spirituality and aging, particularly on pastoral care and support from the church community for those with dementia and their families, and that led to more general reading on the spiritual aspects of aging. I was surprised to discover that an awful lot has been written on the subject, and I was disheartened to learn that my parents' experience was not unique. However, it was a good motivation for me to learn how the church as a whole could be doing a better job of relating to its older members and preparing the rest of us to face our own aging, not with fear or denial, but with trust in God. So, section one, what is aging anyway? What is the meaning of growing old? First, a whimsical poetic passage from the Bible, which describes what old age is like. And this is on your bulletins. It's the largest chunk there from Ecclesiastes. I've chosen different versions to read some of these from because different translations get the nuances better. And in this particular case, the today's UNIV, I think, really gets the humor of this better than the others. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come, and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. Before the sun and the light, and the moon and the stars grow dark, and the clouds return after the rain, when the keepers of the house tremble. Now here's where the metaphor starts. You can take this at face value, literally, as the keepers of the house tremble. That would be the housekeepers, the women generally in that culture. But, as we'll see soon, each of these, from this line on, is a part of the body. So the keepers of the house tremble. That would be the hands or the arms. And the strong men stoop. That's the back or the legs. When the grinders cease, because they are few, that's the teeth, the molars, the grinding teeth. And those looking through the windows grow dim, the eyes. When the doors to the street are closed, that's probably the jaws or the implication that the teeth, that the lips are closed and sunken in if teeth are missing. And the sound of grinding fades, again, the teeth grinding food on toothless jaws. When people rise up at the sound of birds, and I don't know this yet, but I've been told that when you get older, it's hard to stay asleep all the way through the night. You tend to rise up earlier in the morning. So people rise at the sound of birds, but all their songs grow faint. So that's either referring to their own songs growing faint, that it's the voice declines, or hearing declines. Can't hear the birds as well. When people are afraid of heights, again, the danger of falling, so you wouldn't want to go climbing up any high mountains, and of dangers in the streets. When the almond tree blossoms, well, the almond tree has white blossoms, so that refers to white hair. And the grasshopper drags itself along, and desire no longer is stirred. That I will not explain. It's a euphemism. male virility. Then people go to their eternal home, and mourners go about their streets. So anyway, that's an understanding from the book of Ecclesiastes of what we do experience when we get older. We've already read the verse and had it quite demonstrated to us from John 21, so I won't mention that again. But much of the talk we hear about aging focuses on the limitations encountered as we get older. The losses of memory, health, mobility, independence, old friends. It's easy to become discouraged about this when we look ahead to those years. But God says in Isaiah 46, verse 4, even when you are old, I will take care of you. Even when you have gray hair, I will carry you. I made you, and I will support you. I will carry you and rescue you. That's a verse I want to keep posted on the wall by my bed when I'm old. Another piece of encouragement I found along the way. Research has shown that religion and spirituality are significant coping resources throughout life, even till the fading days. Faith helps make sense out of stressful situations and promotes healthy adaptation to significant life changes. One study showed that higher levels of spirituality and private religious practices are associated with slower progression of Alzheimer's disease. Well, we have that in our family, so I'm looking forward to anything I can do to stave that off. This implies that we should develop these habits while we are younger. John Killick argues also that a decline in cognitive capacity may actually lead to a growth in spiritual powers. So that's a good compensation. And I think that we will understand later, as we hear from some of our older people, the deepening experience of spiritual life that it tends to bring. Some more words from Scripture on the meaning of aging. From Psalm, the Bible represents old age as a blessing or as a reward for righteousness. From Psalm 92, the righteous will flourish like a palm tree. This is at the top right of your bulletin. And I'll skip to the main line there, verse 14. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green. And from Proverbs 16:31, gray hair is a crown of splendor. It is attained in the way of righteousness. Now, the old NIV used to put it, by a righteous life, and I think they've changed that on purpose because the underlying meaning is not to imply that there's an automatic cause and effect, that if you have a righteous life, you will have gray hair, you will grow old. And because obviously we know that that doesn't always happen, but just the implication in general is that if you're righteous, blessings will flow from a long life. And it is also a well-known adage that old age brings with it wisdom, so we should not be surprised to find biblical support for this notion. And we heard Job 12:12 read earlier, is not wisdom found among the aged? Does not long life bring understanding? Lawrence McNamara, a Catholic priest from Australia, writes, at its core, aging is fundamentally a mystery rather than a problem. He goes on to say, ultimately, life is a preparation for final union with God. One practical consequence of this is that any social segmentation that isolates a group within the total community has a negative effect on the entire community. Where this occurs, old age is devalued. Younger generations are deprived of seeing their present life as directly linked to and preparatory for their later years. So, old age is a reward, a blessing, a preparation for meeting God face to face, a mystery, a time for deepening of spirituality, and a challenge. What is the role of the older generation in the body of Christ? I need not speak this to all of you. I have no right to, but from what I've read, I understand the role to be to pass on wisdom to the younger generations and teach us the lessons learned about God through aging. Psalm 71, verses 9 and 18 were read earlier. Do not reject me in my old age. When my strength fails, do not abandon me. Obviously, a cry to God for help during this period. But note particularly this second half. Even when I am old and gray, O God, do not abandon me until I tell the next generation about your strength and those coming after me about your power. So that is the role of the older generation. We are fortunate in our congregation that at least two of our older members, maybe more that I'm not aware of, have written their memoirs. I'd encourage all of us younger people to read them, to get to know our elders better and learn from their lives. If you haven't already, I enjoyed Henry Klippenstein's book, Thicker Than Water, the uncensored, unabridged, and completely unbiased account of the life and times of the Dietrich Klippenstein family as told by their middle child, Hendrik. And I've just begun Helmut Lemke's Crossing Frontiers, a story about life under Hitler's socialists during World War II, experiences during and after the war. Helmut quotes Deuteronomy 32, verse 7 in his opening pages. Remember the days of old. Think of the generations long ago. Ask your father to recount it and your elders to tell you the tale. The Encyclopedia of Christianity has an entry on aging, and it says, current concern over age or aging as a negative experience seems to be firmly rooted in Western culture. In contrast, most other world cultures continue to respect the accomplishments of older persons, according elders with honor and seeking them out for advice and counsel. Nevertheless, as the global nature of human society intensifies, prejudice against elders is beginning to appear in these other cultures. Younger persons, observing the nature, values, and results of Western culture, eagerly accept change, often to the detriment of elders and families alike. The situation presents Christianity with an incredible opportunity to demonstrate the importance of individuals throughout their lifespan as beloved persons enjoying God's gifts as they live and serve their Creator. Henry Nouwen writes, only when we are able to receive the elderly as our teachers will it be possible to offer the help they are looking for. As long as we continue to divide the world into the strong and the weak, the helpers and the helped, the givers and the receivers, the independent and the dependent, real care will not be possible. The older generation are our teachers while they still have the strength to tell their stories. When loss of faculties begin to necessitate dependence on others, the older generation can model trust to us, and they become channels through whom God teaches us. Just by slowing down and being observant, we can learn from Him. We can learn not only from the older generation, but also from their caregiver spouses. I wrote this in a letter to my parents' church after that incident that I spoke of. About my parents, I wrote, seeing the two of them together, I have come to a new appreciation of how a marriage relationship shifts when one person enters this waning stage and the other remains devoted. It is a true picture of God's unconditional love for us. Indeed, God continues to love my mother, even when she can no longer express love for him nor understand his love for her. But she can and does know she is loved through how my father treats her, and that is God's way of incarnating his love for her. It is a beautiful thing, and it brings tears to my eyes often. So the roles of older people in the church include passing on wisdom and teaching us as they are able, or merely being and acting as agents of God's teaching. And it is a service in the kingdom of God to care for a declining loved one. The spiritual tasks of aging and how can we younger ones help? Number one, as younger members of the body, we must honor our elders and appreciate their value to us even when they cannot function in the community in the way they once used to. And we've heard verses from Leviticus and the wisdom of Ben Sira, which is also called Ecclesiasticus, not to be confused with Ecclesiastes. So I won't reread those. The final season of life is a time of shifting responsibilities. We never stop having work to do, but our work becomes more and more inward as we get older. One writer in a collection of essays entitled Aging, Spirituality, and Pastoral Care writes, "A number of life tasks confront the elderly. They may have a need to integrate their life experiences, cope with disengagement and loss, deal with their awareness of their limits and impending death. By listening to their stories, sharing their feelings, and praying with them, family members and others can assist older people in meeting their psychological and spiritual needs. Other spiritual tasks in this phase include simplifying, coming to terms with regrets, purposive waiting, and transcendence, which is the realization that there is more to life than the present. Virtues needed and developed in this stage of life include courage to face the challenges, humility, acknowledging our weakness and loss of control, and patience." Lynn Huber writes in Aging as Pilgrimage, Spiritual Potentials of Later Life, "The goal of the spiritual pilgrimage of late life is a journey from the false self, the public persona that we spend the first half of our life constructing, to the true self. This true self is genuinely humble, loving, and in right relationship with God, with others, and with the world in which one lives. Reaching this goal requires considerable effort and a willingness to let go. And the first step on the pilgrimage is acceptance of the reality that aging is loss." I realize that I'm speaking to the younger generation. This is not for you guys. But if we are able to move through our losses and the accompanying grief, we open ourselves to transformation into that true self towards which God is calling us, and we gain wisdom. One vehicle for effecting this transformation is life review, which must be done in intergenerational community. We are all members of one growing thing, the elders being roots, the descendants, literal and figurative, being fruits, neither making sense without the perspective of both. It follows then that the spiritual journey is geared to lead us not only to our own growth, but also the benefit of those in the community. As people age, they develop certain distinguishing characteristics, new images of God and self that are compatible with one who is loved as one is, the ability to live in the here and now, the ability to live in the tension between self-authentication and community. In the last section, how do we age gracefully, is intentionally left blank, as that's what I'm still trying to learn. That's for you, our older generation, to help teach us. I want to end with a final hopeful story and then a poem. As I've observed my dad through the 10 years now that it's been, he's been caring for my mother, increasingly taking more of a caregiving role, I've seen a transformation in him, which is nothing short of miraculous. He has always been a devoted father and dedicated provider for the family. But in this time of needing to care for my mother in every aspect of her life, he's become so amazingly tender and open to the spiritual side of life. And I've seen joy in him that I've never seen before. He has even attested that he's happier now than he's ever been in his life, which I could not understand if it were not for God giving him the strength to cope with what is a very difficult time. So I see that even the challenges that people go through when they're aging can bring growth, spiritual growth, and we never stop growing throughout our entire lives. I want to finish with a poem by D.H. Lawrence called Shadows. "And if tonight my soul may find her peace in sleep and sink in good oblivion, and in the morning wake like a new opened flower, then I have been dipped again in God and new created. And if, as weeks go round in the dark of the moon, my spirit darkens and goes out, and soft, strange gloom pervades my movements and my thoughts and words, then I shall know that I am walking still with God. We are close together, now the moon's in shadow. And if, as autumn deepens and darkens, I feel the pain of falling leaves and stems that break in storms, and trouble and dissolution and distress, then the softness of deep shadows folding around my soul and spirit, around my lips so sweet, like a swoon, or more like the drowse of a low, sad song, singing darker than the nightingale, on to the solstice and the silence of shorter days, the silence of the year, the shadow. Then I shall know that my life is moving still with the dark earth and drenched with the deep oblivion of earth's lapse and renewal. And if in the changing phases of man's life I fall in sickness and misery, my wrists seem broken and my heart seems dead and strength is gone, and my life is only the leavings of a life, and still, among it all, snatches of lovely oblivion, snatches of renewal, odd, wintry flowers upon the withered stem, yet new, strange flowers such as my life has not brought forth before, new blossoms of me, then I must know that still I am in the hands of the unknown God. He is breaking me down to his own oblivion to send me forth on a new morning, a new man.